Ladies and gentlemen, would you join us here on the platform in welcoming Pastor Keith Moore?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. We're in a good place. We're at the right place at the right time. Gonna do the right thing. Why don't you say it out loud? I'm always at the right place at the right time. Amen. You need to say that even if it looks like you were at the wrong place at the wrong time the last five times. You need to say that. And say it and say it. Well, I'm so glad to be with you this afternoon. We've already received so much from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God, but the Lord always has more. And so we're going up to a higher place. And greater grace going to run our race. You can be seated. It's offering time. Amen. It's offering time, and offering time is a time of worship. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Would you go to Psalm 78? Let's stir our faith up before we sow our seed. There's something that came up on my heart about the offering. You know, faith does not question God in unbelief. You know, when Zacharias, the Lord angel, told him that they were going to have the child, you know, John, who was to be John the Baptist, he said, "How can this be?" And it was a questioning and unbelief. And, you know, Brother Jerry was talking about yesterday, where is it going to come from? And you can do that and think that in unbelief and cut off your blessing. Did you go to Psalm 78? Psalm 78 and verse 19. Psalm 78:19 said, "They spoke against God." Their words were stout against God. And they said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do it?" They weren't just saying, "Can God do it?" They were saying, "Can God do it here? Can God do it here?" You know, so many people that believe, at least in part, they believe it's God's will for them to prosper, they make excuses as to why they're not prospering or why they're not prospering at the level somebody else is. Can God do it here? That's not good English, is it? But you know what I'm talking about. Can God furnish? Can God provide? Can God prosper? Because you know the cost of living here. Come on now, y'all with me or not? Cost of living on the West Coast, cost of living in Southern California is, you know, it's not the same. That's an excuse. That's an excuse that would allow you to not prosper on the level that you're supposed to. Because people say, well, you know, cost of living in New York City, it's just, you know, it's just more, so you don't understand. Well, no, that's a form of unbelief. Because is God any smaller in New York City than He is in Kansas? Is God any smaller in Southern California, Northern California, anywhere in the world, the most expensive city in the world to live? Is He any smaller there, or could He easily make an adjustment? People say, well, man, gas is so high. Oh, gas is so high. Gas has put a crimp in my lifestyle. Gas is so high. And the rent is so high. And electricity is so high. And everything is so high. It's so high. Is it really that it's so high or that faith is so small? What I'm saying is they're always excuses. If you listen to them, the devil will give them to you. And you're not prospering very much. But you live here. But this is going on here. But excuses. But faith says God is bigger than all that. It doesn't make any difference where I live. Doesn't make any difference what I'm doing. What I'm getting paid, how much gas is, how much electricity is. If you got enough money, it doesn't bother you. Right? If gas was $10 a gallon, well, we're not happy about that. But if you got a $50,000 a year raise, oh, y'all not helping me out enough on this now. If you got enough coming in, it's not going to paralyze you. It's not going to bind you. Come on. Right? And you know how to get more coming in. Sow more, but not just sow more. Believe more. And believe bigger and get rid of the restrictions. Somebody say, stop with the excuses. Say it out loud. No more excuses.
No more excuses.
Doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make any difference.
Where I work.
Where I live.
Where I live.
Doesn't make any difference.
Who's in office?
Who's in office?
How high gas is.
How high gas is.
Come on, do anybody know Philippians 4:19? For tell me what it says. But my God shall supply all my need according to the economy. In Southern California. What? According to how well the company is doing. According to his riches in glory. That's out of this world, brother. That's beyond this world system. Now go to John 4, please. Excuses of can God do it here? What did I say, John 4? John 5 is what I should have said. John 5. Can God provide it here in this city, in this place? Tell me the answer to this. Yes, easily. Easily. Let's not make excuses about where we live. And here's another one. John 5. That's a prominent, common excuse. People say, yeah, but you don't live here. And you don't deal with this. And you don't know about this. You don't know how expensive houses are. Does it really matter? Now, if you were having to pay for it and come up with it, it wouldn't matter. But if God's taking care of it, if he's doing it, then it's not a deal. Well, I got four people with me. You can hold on to your excuses and stay where you are. Or you can get rid of them and say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high gas gets. It doesn't matter about the taxes. It doesn't matter how high the house gets. God can still give me a house.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Because God's bigger. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than where I live. He's bigger than what I make. Talking about faith. What else here? John 5. Did you find this? That's a big excuse. You hear it. We go to a number of churches and different places in the country, and you hear people say, well, yeah, but now, whoo, brother, here. You know, out there where y'all live in the country, y'all can do stuff like that because it's easy. That's a good excuse, isn't it? Well, here's another good excuse. It's not a good one, it's a common one. Common excuse. And this man, verse 5, chapter 5 of John, he'd been sitting by the pool waiting for 38 years. Waiting for the right time, and most especially, waiting for the right help. Because when Jesus came by, verse 6, and saw him lying, knew he's now a long time in that case, he said, "Will you be made whole?" Didn't say, "Do you want to?" Are you willing to do something about this? And what did he say? Verse 7, come on, help me out with it. What did he say? He said, "Jesus, I ain't got nobody. Jesus, nobody will help me. Nobody. No, nobody knows what it's like out here. 38 years. I've been waiting for somebody to help me. Every time the pool gets moved, somebody's quicker than me. Gets in the pool because I ain't got nobody." That's a common excuse. I don't have the right people to help me. Nobody pray for me. Nobody hook up with me in faith. Nobody support me. Nobody's helping me. That's an excuse. Somebody say enough.
Enough.
With the excuses.
With the excuses.
No more.
No more.
Excuses. Why can't you prosper like other people have prospered? Why can't you pay off your debts? Why can't you get your house? Why can't you do what you got in your heart and what you know you need to do? Why? Why? There are no acceptable excuses. We need to learn about the Lord. You know, when he's walking on the water, and Peter walked on the water to come to him. We've heard about that some this week. And he began to sink. And Jesus grabbed him. And you know what he didn't say? He grabbed his hand and he didn't say, "Peter, man, me and you. Do you know that outside of me, you are the only man that has ever walked?" No, you know what he said? "Peter, where's your faith? Why did you doubt?" Did you hear the question? Why did you die? You know, Peter probably thought he had an excuse. He thought, "Well, Jesus, did you see that wave? Did you see that wave that hit me?" And of course, you know, let's not forget about the law of gravity. And I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Of course, you know, I've come further than most men. Excuses. What am I saying? To Jesus, there was no acceptable excuse for him sinking. There was nothing he could have said that Jesus would have went, "Oh, well, yeah, you got a point on that." Unbelief, doubt makes excuses. Pride makes excuses. Faith says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I know or who I don't know or who won't help me or who won't support me. It doesn't matter. God will still do it. He'll find somebody. He'll do it some way. Right? It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how much I make. Doesn't matter where I live. Come on, come on. Doesn't matter. I'll still get it. I'll still do it. We'll still have it. Doesn't matter if the price has tripled on that thing in the last 6 months. That doesn't mean I'm going to quit believing on it. God can still do it. Are y'all with me now? Somebody say it again. No more excuses. No more excuses as to why it's not happening. It is happening. It will happen.
It's mine.
In Jesus' name. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, get your offering ready. Make your checks to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. If you need an offering for your sowing, hold up your hand. Ushers, be looking at the people. Raise your hand. You need an offering for your sowing. What did I say? Maybe you need an offering, huh? No, if you need an envelope, you're sowing right now. Thank you. If you need an envelope for you sowing, raise your hand. And checks are made to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Don't you thank God for Kenneth Copeland Ministries? Oh, Phyllis, my wife, is here with me today. Phyllis, would you stand? Amen. Phyllis and I heard the word of faith the first time through Kenneth Copeland Ministries decades ago, and gave our first offerings in a believers meeting like this. Wasn't this big? But then we were introduced by the Copelands through their ministry to the Hagen ministry in Rhema, where I was for years. And it's hard to express how much you thank God for these people and this ministry. You know what I mean. Thank God. And you can really tell the real deal because it's there year after year, year after year. Same thing. Glory to God, just increase. And here you are 30 years on the West Coast. Well, that's something to be thankful for. And the Bible says that when you have received spiritually, what are you supposed to do? Turn around and minister materially. That's what the Bible says. So that's what we're doing right now. Thank you, Lord. Stand up if you would and hold up your offering in your hand. Phyllis, you got ours. Phyllis has got ours. Hold it up. Said out loud, thank you, Father, for blessing me with the ability to sow. Thank you for the gifts of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and this excellent ministry that we have received from, that you've ministered to us through for these decades. We sow good seed into good ground. We agree with them that all their needs are and will be supplied in Jesus' name. And we claim a quick and a multiplied harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Ushers, wait on the people. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always causes us to triumph. Always. All the time. I got that one word that's in a little picture frame thing, sits on my desk and faces me and says, always, with a question mark. I mean, an exclamation mark. I better reach out your hands here and pray. Help Brother Keith. Exclamation mark. Because no matter what it looks like, I believe I'm going to win this one too. And you can beat the devil and slap him with that every day. Always. He'll say not this time, but you say always. Well, while the ushers are receiving the offering, would you go ahead and turn with me in your Bible as soon as you've sown your seed? Let's get ready to go further in the Word today. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and John chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and John 4. If you've ever ministered, you know this, but you can have a number of things going on inside you while you're speaking. And so if you hear somebody say John 4:3, and you're going, that ain't John 4:3, it's John 3:4. Well, cut them some slack. There may be something else going on in there. Right? And we're believing God. You believe in God with me today? Let's believe God for the right word, the right time, because I can do nothing in and of myself, and you don't have it in and of yourself, but we can believe God, and He can speak through me. He can speak to you and in you and way out beyond what I said. Right? And you're not limited to what I know, nor to any of the speakers. Thank God we got the Holy Spirit living inside us. And could He say something to you this afternoon that would answer questions that you've had for a long time? Could he reveal something to you that just maybe you've been in kind of a fog about some stuff, but it just clears it up. And you just go, ah, that's it. That's it. And you see it and you know it and you do it, and it closed the door to the devil in your life and open up the door to God and His perfect will and His blessings. I'm believing for that. So let me pray over you. Join your faith with it right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're all here before You. We're not looking at each other. We're looking to You. Our eyes are on You. And we are believing You to reveal and unveil to us Your perfect word for us for now. Answers to questions, solutions to problems, direction for help in life right now. We ask it, we believe we receive it, we thank You for it, and we say right now, we'll not be just hearers only, but by Your grace, we'll put it into practice. We'll live it, we'll do it. We are doers of the Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say it out loud, I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer
of the Word of God. Those are the only people that get results. Not just meeting goers. Not just CD and DVD players. That's right. Not just note takers. It's only who? Only the doers. People who practice it. Who do it. That's the ones who get results. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and then we're going also to John chapter 4. In praying about my part of this, I was impressed with this verse and the truth that's here. And you may have heard this numerous times, but I want you to endeavor to hear it like you have not heard it before, because how many know nobody has exhausted all the light and truth from any verse of Scripture? It's living, it's alive, there's always more light right there. And I know from dealing with people for a few years now that folks are missing it in the area we're going to be talking about and not receiving like they should be. And I know in my own life, the thing I'm going to be talking to you about, the devil is subtle. He's tricky. And even when you know a few things, you can slip back into some wrong thinking. So 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 7, are you with me? Read it out loud with me, please. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Say it again 3 times, please. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. One more time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What do we walk by?
Faith.
And he didn't just stop and say we walk by faith. He went on to say what?
Not.
Why? Because if you're walking by sight, you are not walking by faith. Right? And if you're walking by faith, you are not walking by sight. Will you be tempted to walk by sight? Oh yeah, or he wouldn't even have said it this way. It's a continual pull on you. Why? Because you live in a material world. And when he said sight, he's not just only limiting this to what you see. Sight represents all of the senses. and the feelings that come from what you see and what you hear. So we walk by faith, not by what we see and hear and feel, not what, by what we perceive with our body and our physical senses. We walk by faith, not by sight. Do you suppose there's temptation to walk by sight? I know I've already said it, but think about it. You're seeing something all the time. And you have to make a decision. No. Now, I know I see this. And I know I feel this. But that's not what I believe. Can you be looking at something? Can you be feeling it? And still say, no, uh-uh. I know I see it. I know I feel it. But that's not what I'm believing. Go to the fourth chapter, just back a few verses. All this flows together. 4:18, he said, "While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen." We don't look at the things that are seen, but rather we look at the things that are not seen. You could say it like this. We don't judge after what we see. In fact, John 7:24 said that. Don't judge according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Don't judge according to what you see. Don't walk by what you see, by what you feel. Walk by faith. Now go to John 4, please. Now I am talking to faith people, am I not?
Yes.
Word people. Faith people, that's what I thought. John 4 and 48. John 4 and 48, then said Jesus to him, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Except you see, this man came to him and he said, you know, he wanted him to come and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And numerous times, Jesus just said, "I'll come and heal him," on other occasions. But this time, he said, he looked at him and said, "Unless you see something, you're not ready to believe." Is that a problem? Unless you see. Let's examine that. What is he saying? When is the man going to believe the healing has taken place? Jesus knew this and he tells him up front. He says, "You're not going to believe anything's happened till you see it. Till you see symptoms change." Brother Jerry had talked about yesterday, how's God going to do it? Right? We all here. How is God going to do it? I want to ask another question, talk about this. When is God going to do it? When? I know a friend of mine, minister, pastor, he had a little boy. He's big now, but at this time he's just a little toddler guy. He fell down and skinned his knee. And oh, he's hurting and he's crying and he ran, "Daddy, Daddy." And so Daddy put his hands on it and he prayed over it and he be healed in Jesus' name. And he quit and the little boy looked up and he said, "Well, it still hurts, Daddy." He said, "Well, just thank God for the manifestation." And so he came back in a couple of minutes and said, "Daddy, it still hurts." He said, "Well, just thank God for the manifestation." Couple of minutes, he came back and said, "Daddy, when is the man from the station going to get here? We have coined terminology, haven't we? In faith circles, we've coined our own terminology. And manifestation is one of them. And there's this deal about when is it going to happen? And there are many people that are, you know, call themselves word and faith people, but they're They wouldn't say it. But they're annoyed with the Lord. They don't say it. Some of them are angry. Some of them are hurt, put out. And what's it about? When are you going to do this thing? I mean, how long do I have to stand? Now, as we go today, we might get close to home. We might draw your picture. But just look straight ahead. Straight ahead. Don't groan. Just go, amen, Brother Keith. Somebody needs to hear that. But there are, I've talked to them. You know, we've counseled with them. We've talked to them on the phone. I've talked to pastors. When's God going to do it? When? How much longer do I have to wait? Well, quote to me our text. We walk by faith. What?
Not by sight.
Not by sight. Say it again.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Don't say we, say I.
I walk
by faith.
Not by sight.
Not by sight. Now see, Jesus told this man, he came and said, you know, come down and heal. Heal my son before he dies. Back up and look at it there. Sir, come down, verse 49, and heal ere my child die. He was at the point of death. Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. That's a problem. You're going to have to see something. Then you're going to believe it's done. Faith believes it's done before it sees.
Amen.
Now, I know you've heard about this, but you need to hear it again.
Amen.
I said we need to hear it again today because the devil is so, he's subtle, he's crafty, he's always trying to work in and get you out of rest, out of faith, into struggling, into waiting, into wondering. And he really would like to get you mad at God. Well, God, why didn't you do it? What are you waiting on, God? How many have enough sense to realize God is never your problem? How many go on record? Say, I got enough sense to know. God is never my problem. How many believe the Bible that he will not withhold any good thing to them that walk uprightly? He is not holding back. He is not withholding. He told us. He said, don't withhold good when it's in the power of your hand to do it. Don't tell them to go away and come back and you'll do it later. Well, how many know he's no hypocrite? If he tells us to not operate that way, he's not going to operate that way. Is it in his power? Yes. Then is he saying go and wait? One of the biggest lies, biggest deceptions that is prevalent in Christianity is that we are waiting on God. We're just waiting on God. We don't know when he'll get ready to do it, but I just believe that one of these days, somehow, some way, God's going to do it. We're waiting on him. Well, are we? Are we really waiting on him? Think about somebody that's not born again. I've had people tell me this kind of thing. Well, now, I just believe it's all up to God. You know, and if he wants me saved, he'll save me. And it's up to him. This is too big for us. We don't understand and we're not qualified to make all these decisions. And is it accurate that somebody is waiting on the Lord to save them? Waiting on God for them to be born again? It is not right. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you're not waiting on the Lord. He has already paid for your salvation.
Amen.
Come on now, he already bought it. He already paid for it, and there is no man, no woman, no young person on the planet that is accurately, you could say, they're waiting on God to save them. No. It's been bought. It's been paid for. It's been provided. But what God provides by grace must be possessed by faith. Is it true? Any person on the planet can receive their salvation whenever they get ready to. They're not waiting on God. Well, folks think, well, yeah, that's how it is with salvation, Brother Keith. But it's different with other things. No, the just don't just get born again by faith. The just what? They walk by faith. That's every day, day in and day out. They live by faith. The way it is with the new birth is the way it is with everything. Are we really waiting on God? Two people say no. Well, I've been waiting on God. We had a young woman just about a month or so ago came to the church and came down to the front when we gave an altar call for people to be filled with the Spirit. And we prayed for her. And at first she didn't yield, didn't speak. But I saw her after the service because she down front she didn't speak in tongues, but she went with the guys to the room and they ministered to her some more. And I knew her and hadn't seen her in years, but I knew her. And she came back after the service was over. I saw her. She said, "I got it." I said, "What?" She said, "I spoke in tongues." She'd been praying and waiting for 20-something years. On God to fill her. 20-some years. Now I know where she was at. Because I struggled. I came up Pentecostal. And we believed in being filled with the Spirit. But we weren't taught to receive. We were taught to tarry. Anybody beside me know about tarrying? Tarrying. You might have heard me talk about this before. I mean, My, I did some tarrying in my time. The preacher would preach and then give the altar call for people who want to seek to be filled. And the men come up on one side of the altar and the women go up on the other side. And we'd tarry. 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 And the brothers would beat you in the back and do this, do that. They told me, they said, "Brother, now, I think if you shave that mustache off, God might fill you." I did. I didn't get filled. "Brother, I think if you do this," I tried all kind of stuff. And month after month, and year after year, I thought I was waiting on the Lord. I thought, "God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to shave my mustache off. I did this. I did that. Still no tongues. What do you want me to do?" And there was a time or two in my ignorance and immaturity, I got frustrated. I thought, "Lord, I'm doing everything I know to do. What am I waiting on?" So I figured, well, I'm just waiting on God. And one thing I kept saying, "Well, if you ever hear me talk in tongues, it won't be me. Won't be me. I don't want it to be me." Wrong thinking. Right? And I remember I got a little book by Dr. Kenneth Hagin, 7 Steps to Being Filled with the Holy Ghost. I read that little book in my little, we call them trailers back then. They're modular homes now, I guess. some are nice, but ours was just a trailer. And I stood up in our old trailer at that little book, and I read it, and I got through reading, and I thought, nah. Because he said, you know, just believe that you receive and speak in tongues. I thought, nah, I can't be that easy. Can't be. Well, see, one thing you don't want to admit is because if that's true, all this stuff you've been doing. I see, a lot of folks just are unwilling to admit that. And so they make excuses. They say, well, it's not for everybody. That's not for everybody. That's God gives that gift to some, but not to everyone. Wrong. It's for everybody. Every believer should be filled to flowing over, speaking in tongues. Everybody. 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 You know, it's only the people who don't speak in tongues that believe it's not for everybody. The ones who are not qualified to say anything about it. Because people who receive know it is for everybody. It's a matter of receiving. Somebody say receiving.
Receiving.
Receiving and yielding. Receiving and acting. Thank God I did. I read that. Thought came to my mind, well, you've tried everything else. I'm in there by myself. I thought, well, I might as well do this, you know. So I read it. I said, Lord, I thank you. I'm a child of yours. I thank you. You said if anybody asked you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, you would give. So I just ask and believe I receive right now, and by faith I speak. Povora namastika. And I stopped my thought. Nah. Nah, because see, when Sister Betty got filled, she saw a bright light and rolled up under the pew and sang a song for an hour. And I don't feel a thing. Well, see, now let's stop and examine this. Am I walking by faith? What am I falling back into here? I'm walking by what I see. What I feel, walking by sight, is it a constant danger, a constant pitfall to slip into walking by sight? Thank God I got past that. And I believe what I read in the scripture, he kept referring me back to the Bible, you know, 1 Corinthians, if I speak in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm building myself up. I'm speaking out mysteries. And so I just begin to do it by faith. And glory to God, the longer I did, the stronger it got. And I'm still talking in tongues today. But was I really waiting on God for all those months and years to fill me? I was not. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he hasn't gone anywhere. He's still here. So nobody is waiting on him. Are y'all with me? He has come. He is here. Nobody is waiting on him to get filled with the Spirit. Nobody is waiting on Jesus to be born again and to be saved. People think they are. People get annoyed at God. When you going to do it? When you going to do it? You're looking the wrong way. When did he do it? When did he do it? Is the right question. Look in Mark 11. There's a good verse over here in Mark chapter 11. It's helped me. Everybody okay this afternoon? You comfortable? You're not mad at me yet, right? Good, good. We can keep going. I believe there are answers here today. I know there are. Answers here today. I believe people can get relief. I believe people can get answers and then get what you've been waiting on too. Huh? Mark 11. You know it. You probably got it marked. Verse 22. What? Have faith in God. Now skip down to verse 24. I say to you, what things soever you desire, whatever you wanting, whatever you desire, whatever you needing, when you pray, do what?
Believe.
And a lot of folks stop right there. They just stop right there. Believe. And I've had people look at me with tears. Brother Keith, I believe. I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in God. That's not what he said, believe. I believe God's able. I believe God can do it. Great. That's not what he said. I believe it's God's will. I believe it's God's will. Wonderful. But it's not what he said. You can believe all that and stay sick. You can believe in God. You can believe God is real. You can believe it's his will. You can believe he's got power. You can believe he's able and stay sick. What did he say specifically to believe in this verse? When you pray. When are you going to believe this? Right when you pray it, right now. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, if you've looked up this word, you know this word receive is also translated take. Believe that you take it. Believe that you take it. Have you read your Old Testament? Have you read about how God gave them the promised land? The land that flowed with milk and honey. We're going to look at some verses over there in just a little bit. But what did he tell them to do about that land? Huh? Oh yeah, I got some folk Bible readers around here. What did he? Huh? He told them to possess it. He told them to take it. Have you heard phrases like this in the Bible? Lay hold.
Yes.
Believe you receive. Possess. This is one of the biggest areas where the church has missed it for century after century because this hasn't been preached. What's been preached is God's in control. God's able. One of these days, God's going to do something. One of these days. And we don't know why, we don't understand it, but we're just waiting on God. Patiently. Waiting on God. I just believe that some way, somehow, sometime. Well, when's he going to do it? I don't know. I wish he had already done it, but I don't know what we're waiting on. In fact, I'm upset about it, Brother Keith. I've waited so long till I'm worn out. And I don't know, God, when? When, God, when? Wonder how many Christians have ever done that. When? Oh, they might not have done it in front of people, but they might have done it in their bedroom at night. When, God, when? How much longer? When are you going to give me my spouse? When am I going to get my money? When am I going to get my healing? When you going to fill me with the Spirit? Lord, I've done everything. I shaved my mustache off. I done cried and prayed till I'm dehydrated. When you going to do it? There's a when right here in this verse. Help me out now. When you pray, you need to believe something. Believe that God's going to do it? No. Believe God can do it? No. Believe it's his will? No. No. What do you believe? Believe that you receive it. Same words translated take. Believe that you take it. If you're waiting on anything, you don't believe you have it. If you're trying to get it, you don't believe you got it. I'm going to keep going over this and going over it, going over it. If you're trying to get it, struggling to get it, you don't believe you got it. If you're waiting on it, you don't believe you have it. When am I going to get it, Lord? Is that up to Him? Is when you receive it up to Him? No. Well, when's He going to do it? He already has. He already has. He took our infirmities, past tense. He bore our sicknesses and carried our pain, past tense, past tense. By His stripes you were healed. He bore the chastisement of peace. God, when are you going to help me with my mind? When are you going to help me with my head? I'm just so tormented. God, when are you going to help me? I'm praying. I've begged. I've fasted. When? When? No, wrong question. When are you going to receive? When are you going to believe you receive? Well, see, if you walk by sight, you're not going to believe you got it till you see it. And till you feel it. Till somebody gives you a report, tells you you got it. Faith believes, it receives when it prayed. Right? And then what happens after that? You'll have it. In your body, in your mind, in your pocketbook. Right? But you can't wait till you see it and feel it, and then you're going to believe you got it. Hope this is not too simple for you this afternoon. Because folk are missing it in this area, I'm telling you. People are missing it right and left. I've caught myself. Anybody that's walked by faith any length of time has. I remember one day I was riding in the car going somewhere, and I was kind of aggravated because something hadn't happened yet. Huh? I'm thinking, what's the hold up on this? What's the hold up on this? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, faith is not frustrated. I thought, well, I'm frustrated. But faith is not frustrated. So what does that leave me? That's wondering and wavering. What am I waiting on? Well, see, I'd slip back into, I'm going to believe it's happened when I hear about it. When I see it, I slip back into it. How many know this is a slippery bank? Right, every day it's right there because you got your senses, you got what you're seeing and feeling. It is so easy because you did this, especially if you didn't get saved at an early age. You walked totally by your senses for decades. You don't even have to think to do that. And we've been endeavoring to renew our minds and retrain ourselves so that we don't walk by sight. But it is so, I mean, you can just slip back into it right away and waiting on it, trying to get it, working to get it, struggling to get it, waiting on it. What do you say when you pray?
Believe.
Tell me exactly what He said to believe.
Receive.
Believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Believe that you receive it. Say it out loud. Believe that you receive it. What's that word translated? Receive? Believe you take it. When? When you pray. Well, if you prayed and believed you received it and believed that you took it, now what do you believe? You believe you got it. Then are you trying to get it?
No.
Are you struggling to get it?
No.
Working to get it?
No.
No, you believe you got it.
Someone
says, well, I don't see it and feel it. Exactly. If you saw it and felt it, you wouldn't have to believe you got it. You got to believe you got it because you don't see it. You don't feel it. If you could see it and feel it, you wouldn't have to believe it.
That's right.
People say, well, seeing is believing. That's one of the most dumb and inaccurate things that religious people ever say. Absolutely not. Seeing is not believing. They're opposites. That's, believing is what you do when you don't see. When you don't feel. If you believe you got it, you're not waiting on it. You're not waiting on Him. Now you'll be tempted to wait on it. You'll be tempted to struggle. You'll be tempted. But we which have believed do enter into rest. I mean, your body's still hurting. The bills are still piled up. Everything looks the same or worse. But you lean back and go, "Ah, I got it." The devil said, "What? You, look at the bills. Boy, you ain't got it." I got it. I'm telling you, I got it. I've got it. I prayed. I believed. I received. The Lord heard my prayer. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I got my healing. I got my money. I got my direction. I got it. I've got it. I'm not waiting on it. I've got it. I'm not working to get it. I'm not trying to get it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. It's mine. How many of you waiting to be born again? You're just going to keep believing till you are. How many struggling to be born again? Working to be born again? No, you're not. Why? You believed, you received.
Amen.
Your salvation. Right?
Right.
You believed, you received. And because you believe that, you are saved. Healing's the same way. Being filled with the Spirit's the same way. Money, getting your prosperity, same way. Everything is the same way. If you're trying to get it, you don't believe you got it. If you're waiting on it, you don't believe you have it. Is this okay? Is it too simple for you? Luke 18. I'm talking to faith people. I'm talking to people, they walk by faith. And faith people don't walk by sight. Right? They don't have to see it, for they believe they got it. They don't have to feel it. They don't have to have the report. Got four people up here with me. I got any faith people in the back? Let me see. All the way in the back. Faith people, do you have to see it before you believe you got it? No, you don't. No, you don't. You can believe you've got it. You can go ahead and get happy that you got it. You can have a got it party right now before you see anything. Feel right? Am I right? You can go ahead and go, "What you celebrating about? I got it." You don't look like you got it. Yeah, but I got it. And when you do that, it still could be some time pass before you see the results and feel the results. But when it happens, you're not surprised. Because you've had it now. You've already had it for days or weeks or months. Some things, years. You've already had it. You've already had it. Oh, you're thankful when you see it and feel it. But you're not surprised. You've been living with it. Luke 18. Luke 18. This is so simple, you need help messing it up. And the devil is always ready to help you mess it up. This is so simple. A 3-year-old could understand it. Right? What do you want? Okay, ask for it. All right? Believe you got it. Believe you receive it. I should say. Believe you receive. Believe you take it. Okay? All right, now believe you got it. Okay. The devil will say, "Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. Now it's complicated." Because see, people don't understand what's going on in your life. Because see, you have such a special ministry. And there's special devils assigned to you, and it's layered. And you're a complex person yourself. You know what that means? It means you're a confused person. Complex? Get out of here. It's a form of pride. The truth is, everybody is going through the same thing. The Bible said so. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Don't you believe those lies? Well, yeah, nobody really knows what I'm going through. You don't understand. This is complicated. It's just unbelief. I'm a complex person. You're just confused. You get in faith, it gets simple. You get in faith, it gets simple. God said it. I believe it. Now I have received it. Now I got it. Time to celebrate. Yeah, but what about what you see? What about what you feel? What about that last report? It was worse than the other one. That's not what I live by. I don't go by that. I don't live by that. I don't walk by that. I walk by faith, not by all that. I see it, but that's not what I walk by. That's not what I live by. I'm not going to let that tell me I don't have it and accept it. Because there are things all around you trying to tell you, you're not saved. You're not the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not forgiven. Feelings, your own mistakes, all kind of stuff. You got to make up your mind. I don't care. I don't believe that. You're not healed. Look at your body. Listen to reports. You're not healed. You're not healed. Yeah, I got it. I am healed. Won't you be glad when He heals you? He already has. I got it. I believed I received it. I have it. I'm not waiting on it. I'm not trying to get it. I've got it. I'm not working to get it. I'm not struggling to get it. I'm not waiting on it. I have received it, and now I have it. I have it now. I have it now. Does that bear witness with your spirit? Are you with me on this? I have it. I've got it. I got it. I got my money. I've claimed, I've sown my seed. I believed I received. I've claimed my harvest. I've got it. I've got it. When you gonna get it? I got it. I've got it. I've got it. Luke 18, are you there? I want you to look at the simplicity of this miraculous healing. Luke 18, 41. There was a blind man, verse 35, sat by the way begging. Blind man. He cried out after Jesus. Verse 40, Jesus stood and commanded the man to be brought to him, and when he was come near, he asked him, "What will you that I'll do for you?" Now let's just stop right here. The man is blind. He's begging on the road there. It's obvious he's blind. The garment he wears, the condition in his day, he's sitting in the dirt all day. He's filthy. It's obvious what's wrong with him. And yet Jesus asks him this question. What did he say? What will you that I'll do for you? You might think is obvious. But it's not about the obvious. It's not just up to the Lord's power. It's not just up to the Lord's will. If something's going to happen in this man's life that hasn't happened in other blind people's lives, it's because he's going to do something different. What will you that I do for you? And what did he say? Lord, that I may what? Receive my sight. And Jesus said, I'll take care of it. I got it from here. No. What did he say to him? Come on, read it. Read it. What did he say? What does receive mean? What's another word for it? He said, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said, okay, so take it. Take your sight. Oh, come on. Did you hear this, friends? Did you hear this? He didn't say, I've got it. I'm going to do it for you. What did he say?
Take it.
Take it. Come on. What happened next? Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. He already knew he would. Verse 43, and immediately he
received.
He did what?
Received
his sight. He received it. How did he receive it? He didn't take it with his hand. He didn't take it with his mind. How did he take it? Faith has a hand. Woo, come on now. Faith has hands. Faith has hands that can lay hold of the intangible, the invisible, the seeming so-called impossible. Faith can lay hold of it and take it. Take it. Take it. We haven't emphasized enough this aspect of it. We're still reeling under centuries of erroneous teaching. It's all up to God. Just wait on the Lord. Whatever He wants, just wait on Him. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, person after person that's in this book that got healed, this is the kind of thing they did. She did not sit in her house and sing Kumbaya. I'm just waiting on you, Lord. Did she? What did the woman do? Come on. In her weakened, hemorrhaging state, she got up. Whoo, come on now. She heard Jesus was coming through. She got up. She found Him. She pushed through the crowd. She was saying, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I just touch the hem of His garment, I just touched Him. And she reached out and she touched. And when she touched, she took. When she touched, she took. See, this mentality hasn't been strong enough in healing lines. Because when people lay hands on folk, they're sitting there waiting. Waiting. Okay, God. Zap me. When you going to do it? Come on, any time now. When you going to do it? When you go? No, no. When you touch or you get touched, you're supposed to take. Not wait. Take. Come on, come on. Not wait. Take. This hasn't. It's because of the error that's been taught for so long. But this, Jesus is not having a healing meeting. He's not having a healing line. He did not give an invitation for people to come to be healed. He's trying to get from point A to point B. And this woman comes through. She didn't say, great master, is it thy will? She didn't say, you got time for me. She didn't say anything. She just reached in and took herself a healing. Took it. And faded back into the crowd. Felt in herself. She could feel it already. Now notice those feeling was last. Last. She believed. She said. She pressed through. She touched. She took. Then. Last of all. She felt. She's back in the crowd. Smiling like the cat that got the canary. She ain't felt this good in years. She's going, oh, glory to God. My strength is coming back. I know that hemorrhage has stopped. I can feel it. I know it. And she realized Jesus is still right where He was when she touched Him. And she thought, oh, no. But see, she didn't ask anybody about this. She didn't ask. She just came through and took. And He said, who touched me? She thought, oh, Lord, oh. He's going to want it back. The Bible says when all denied. Well, all would include her. He looked around the crowd, and the Bible said all of them denied. He looked around. Who touched me? Who touched me? People were going, I didn't touch you. No, I didn't touch you. He looked at her. She went, oh. The Bible said all. Why? He wasn't having a healing service. He wasn't ministering to the sick right then.
Man, that's excellent.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
And you got people that go on and on and on and on about, well, it may not be God's will, and we just don't know, and we just have to wait and until we find. Thank God these theologians didn't get to her. She just said, there it is. I'm going to get it. And she went and took her a healing. And she was concerned about his response now that he's still standing there. But eventually she saw he is not going away. He's going to stand there all day. And she finally came forth and fell out in front of him, told him all the truth and what she did. He was not upset with her in the least. I said he was not upset with her in the least, because she didn't ask if it was God's will or if it was God's timing or if this was a good place or a good way. He said, daughter, be a good comfort. Your faith. See, he could have said my power. He could have said God's goodness. He could have said 100 other things. But that's not where the emphasis should have been, because this woman initiated her healing at this time by her faith. Too much waiting. Too much excuses and explanations and trying. Jesus said, what do you want from me, this blind man? He said, I want to receive my sight. What did Jesus say? Verse 42. You're still there, aren't you? What did he say? He said, I want to receive my sight. So Jesus said, Take it. Receive it. So what'd he do? So he received it. And he can see. Is it that simple? Is it that simple? If we're having to heal ourselves, well, it would be tough. But we're not. It's not our power. We don't have to heal ourselves. What do we have to do? Believe that we receive it. Believe that we take it. And once you believe you've received it, you believe you've got it. And if you believe you've got it, you're not waiting on it. You're not working for it. You're not trying to get it. You believe you have it now. How many of you got stirred up about this maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and it's good to be reminded? I need to remind myself. You need to remind yourself, right? This is how you walk by faith, not by sight. Go with me. You're there in Luke. Go to the 11th chapter. Can you take some more? Boy, they have blessed me so much. Give me all this time this afternoon. Glory to God. Fella can't preach with all this time. All these folks like you, he just can't preach. So Lord, help me. Such an opportunity. I do not take it lightly. But I believe I'm looking at a bunch of faith people that have already had victories, already had results. But in this year of the open door, what do you need to do when the door is open? You need to get on in there. And you need to do some possessing and some taking and some laying hold. What you must not do is for the rest of the year sit outside the door and go, ooh, I know that door is open. Jesus, when are you going to take me through? It's subtle, isn't it? Mm-mm. Somebody say, I'm going through. I'm possessing my possessions. I'm a receiver. And see, people have made fun of us. They've given us all kind of little nicknames. Huh? Confess it and possess it. Huh? Name it. Claim it. Frame it. Blab it. Grab it. And the thing is, these terms are scriptural. They don't know how scriptural they are. They don't know they're making fun of the Bible. Confession is a Bible word. I actually got a translation I'm going to give you in a little bit where grab is a Bible word. Name it. Frame it. God framed the world. Right? They can make fun all they want to. They're not making fun of you and me. They're making fun of Jesus. I didn't write Mark 11:24. I didn't say that. He did. Well, they can make fun about us confessing and possessing, but we're going to keep on confessing and possessing and claiming, right? Name it and frame it, claim it. Luke 11. Now this is a much misunderstood passage right here because of one word. And I think with what we're talking about today, with the background already, you'll see the maybe some new light in this. Luke 11. 11 and 5. Jesus said, "Which of you shall have a friend? Go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within will answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend," because he just woke him up out of a deep sleep, and he is not thinking so much about him being his friend right now. But He wouldn't get up and do it because he's his friend. But yet he, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, what you're dealing with here is the man coming and asking at the wrong time. It was socially incorrect. Socially incorrect. Inappropriate time. The protocol was not correct. The approach left a lot to be desired. It was inconvenient. It was uncomfortable. And he said he will not get up out of a dead sleep and give him what he's asking for because of their close friendship. But he will get up and give it to him because of the man's importunity. Now, if you, it depends on what you, where you look up the word. You know, you're not supposed to just only look up words from the English King James in an English dictionary. You just get a limited thing. They only look it up in your Greek concordance and other places. And some translations, they only talk about persistence. That's not the whole story. Come on. I said, that's not the whole story.
Come on.
Persistence is not. Now, we know through faith and patience you inherit. But let me give you some definitions of this. This word literally means without modesty. It means shamelessness. Anybody getting this now? Just bearing witness with you? Shamelessness, without modesty. One says without bashfulness. One says impudence. One says bold. Why would he get up and give him what he's asking for? Because he just was brassy enough to walk up out there in the middle of the night and beat on the door when it was socially inappropriate. Come on now. Time was not good. See, God has not given us the spirit of fear. A lot of you know that's also translated timidity. Timidity. A lot of your margins will say, he did not give us the spirit of timidity. But the spirit of power. Power, love, and a sound mind. The devil wants us all timid and bashful. And call it humility. Call it meekness. Oh, I can't bother them. And they carry that over to the Lord. You ever heard anybody says, oh, I don't want to bother the Lord. With that, he's got so much going on. I don't want to bother the Lord. No, it's not important. It's not. You have not. Huh? Because God's too busy. Because God can't be bothered with little trivial stuff like yours. No, you have not. Come on. Why? Because you are more concerned about being socially correct, politically correct, smooth. The enemy will always tell you, don't ask that. Don't do that. No. And with people, other people, you don't want to cross the line.
That's right.
But what's the point of this? The point is not so you'll be annoying to everybody around you. Read the next verse, the very next verse. What's the punchline? What's the punchline? Very next verse. What? He told you this so you'd do what? So you would what? I say to you, ask. It'll be given you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Oh, help me with this, Lord. The devil has lied through pulpits, through churches for centuries. Oh. Whoa, now, don't. Who do you think you are? Sit down. It's too late at night. It's too late in the service. It's gone too, No, it's inappropriate. No, don't ask the Lord for that. You don't know what's best for you. You just leave that up to Him. And the picture's been painted that if you're really a good Christian, you're just nothing. You just sit like a blob and hope God do something. Sometime.
Amen.
And whatever He does, we'll just accept it meekly. Whatever He doesn't do, it's just thy will. It's a false humility, and it does not please the Lord. What did He say? Why did the man get the bread? Not because the man was his friend, because he was just bold enough to walk right up there in the middle of the night and go, boop, 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 boop. Dog started barking. Oh. Meow, meow. Now you know what time it is. Shut up down there. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, Jack, it's me, man. Sorry about it, but I need some bread. Boop, 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 boop. Joe, that you? Yeah, Jack, it's me, man. I need some bread. Boop, 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 boop. Why did Jesus tell us this? He said he got it because of his shamelessness, his lack of timidity. Come on now. Because he walked right up there and he laid hold of it and he claimed it. And what did Jesus say? What are you supposed to get out of this? Ask, boy. Walk up. Step up. Ask.
Look for it. Knock on the door. Expect it to come open. Be there with your hands out, ready to get it. Oh, come on now. Come on. I grew up in the South. Maybe you couldn't tell that. And my dad's in heaven now. He and my mom, anytime I'd come home, he'd food everywhere. And if I was there for 3 days, and I'm sitting out on the front step, forlorn, and mama said, "Boy, is something wrong?" "Yeah, Mom, I'm hungry." "You hungry?" "Yeah, I'm hungry, but nobody give me anything to eat." Anybody from the South besides me? Am I in trouble? I'm in trouble. Why? She said, "Boy, have you lost your mind? What do you think all that food sitting on the table in there for? I've been cooking for 3 days before you got here. What do you think all that stuff in the refrigerator is? What do you think all that stuff in the pantry is? You get yourself up from there. You big old place. Get up from there. Get in there." What does she expect me to do? Possess. In fact, that never happened. That has never happened. I walk in, hug each other. Hey, Mom. And it doesn't take me about 30 seconds. I'm around the bend. Okay, see what's in there and on the table. And I just wade on in there and appropriate. I don't turn in no forms. I don't make no requests. Just appropriate. Possess some possessions. If I was sitting there on the steps, you know, 3 or 4 days, my dad always tinkered with cars. He always had trucks and cars around. And if I'm sitting there for 3 days and I look forlorn, daddy comes by and says, "Boy, something wrong?" "Yeah. I've been wanting to go to town for 3 days. Nobody let me use a car." I'm sure enough in trouble. My daddy probably wouldn't even say anything. He'd probably just go, walk off. He said, boy, how many times have I told you anything here you want to drive is yours? You don't have to come ask me. You're a grown man. Keys are right there. You want to go somewhere? Go somewhere. Does this sound familiar?
Yes.
What does it sound like? Yeah, we're right here in Luke already. Huh? Go to the 15th chapter. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe we're making progress. I believe we are gaining ground. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Just stretch a little bit. Stand up on your feet. Raise your hands. Say, "Thank you, Lord." Oh, thank you, Lord. We're faith people. You've taught us how to live by faith. Walk by faith. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We don't have to live wondering and waiting, struggling and striving. We live by faith. Walk by faith. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord. Well, whenever you get through stretching, you can sit down. Stretch around. Reach around. Change your position. Luke 15. Luke 15. Verse 11. Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." Now that is kind of brassy. Isn't it? Young boy walks up today, he says, "Daddy, I'm in your will, right? He said, well, yes, sir. You are. He says, so when you go, I get part of all this. He said, yeah, you do. He said, well, why? I've got to wait. Can I have mine now? You see, a lot of folk could go, you little impudent. Nothing is said that about this passage and about him that this was wrong. We have jumped to conclusions about that. This is not where the young son missed it. You have to think about that a little bit. There's nothing in here that says, how many understand the father in this story represents a father God?
Yes.
And how many know if the son did something that was wrong and not right and illegal, he would not have responded to it?
Amen.
This way he'd have told him, no, boy, you're not getting anything right now. You got to wait. But he didn't. Could have if he wanted to. He's the father. He's the one in charge. He could have said, boy, don't you come talking like that to me about this again. When I go, it's when you'll get it and not one day before. No! He said, that'd be fine. You want to get yours now? That'd be fine. That'd be just fine. I will go to the bank. I'll get the lawyers. I'm going to make the arrangements tomorrow. And he did. And the Bible said he divided unto, now read it, read it. What? Them. He's got two boys, two sons. He divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. What's he doing? He's possessing. Didn't he? He claimed it. He laid hold of it. He got it. And he hadn't missed it yet. I said he hasn't missed it yet.
That's right.
It's what he did with it. It was his. He had a right. It must have been the father's pleasure to give it to him, or he wouldn't have given it to him. How many know that Jesus said, it's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Paul said, by the Spirit of God speaking through him in saints at Corinth, all things are yours. Not going to be one day in the sweet by and by. All things are yours. Listen to the way the Spirit of God led Paul to pray for the people. The prayers that we're so familiar with, Ephesians 1 and 3 and Colossians 1. Listen how they go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you may know what God's going to do for you one day.
No.
What? That you may know what is the hope of his calling? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What the exceeding greatness of his power was in Christ when he raised him from the dead? These are things that have happened. What he was praying for is that we would find out what's already been given to us. That we would find out. Did the scripture say, you are blessed, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? See, the walking by sight puts everything in the future, because we're not going to believe it till you see it, so-called. But faith says, he did it. He bought it. He got it. He paid for it. And I'm not waiting on him. It's up to me to receive it. Receive it. Receive it. And I can receive it today. I can receive it right now before I see, before I feel. So he took his riches. He went. He wasted it on partying and wild living. That's where he missed it. He didn't miss it by being bold enough to ask for it. And he didn't miss it by taking it, possessing it. He missed it with wrong use. But you know, when he came home, and how many thank God, God will take you back? Yes. Even if you mess up, you waste your resources, you waste your time, he still love you, still take you back, still kill a fatted calf, Still put a ring on your finger. Still give you prosperity after you live like that. Put a robe on you after you live like that. Still. And the goodness of the Father annoyed the elder son, didn't it? He came in out of the field, hot, sweaty, dirty, been out there all day, party going on. And we learn later, he's always been wanting a party. Is that right? Have you read? Always wanted a party, but never party. Waiting for the Father to throw a party for him. Waiting. Working hard. Waiting. So God's going to notice him one of these days. One of these days, God's going to see how faithful a Christian you are and give you a party. No, he's not. One of these days, God's going to see how many confessions you make every day and how many chapters you read, and he's going to heal you. No, he's not. One of these days, God's going to see how you do on the offerings. And he's going to do it. No. You got to quit waiting and begin taking. Begin possessing. He said. He said, what's going on? What's that music? What's that dancing? And they said, your brother's come back. And the father, verse 27, killed the fatted calf for him because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Wouldn't go in. We're talking about years of repression. Bottle up in this boy. This is the church going boy. Right? This is the boy of praise. Always at prayer meeting. Always gives in the offering. Always. Always. Volunteers to be the usher. Always volunteers. Work out in the parking lot. Always. 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 And this was just too much. He saw baby bro get all that money. And he saw him leave. And he saw him blow it. And he saw him party, 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 party. And he ain't never had no party. He just goes to church and comes back. And goes to church and comes back. And goes to church. And this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. He thought, now that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. I mean, here I am. I done made 39 quilts. I done had 45 chicken fries and 93 visitations I've been on. And the Lord, they come in here and I know how they live and I know where they were. And the Lord healed them. And I've been trying to get him to heal me for 10 years. And this ain't right. I've been working in the church for these 30 years. And then that little whippersnapper come in here. I know he ain't been in church 2 weeks. Somebody gave that boy a new car. Now that ain't right. That ain't right. Angry. Is any elder Christians angry in the church today, reckon? A lot of them. A lot of angry, annoyed. Who are they angry at? They're envious and jealous of the other believers that are getting stuff they want and don't want to admit they're angry at God and accusing him of being unfair. How long do I have to wait? And notice what? The Father, this is mercy. The Father leaves the party. Comes outside to this mad boy because he loves him. Yeah. And he does respect his faithfulness. Yes, he does. And he said, Verse 29, the eldest boy said, these many years. Somebody say, many years.
Many years.
Remember that guy been waiting to be healed 38 years. 38 years. This woman I told you about waiting to be filled with the Spirit 20-something years. This is sad. I've been waiting on my house 15 years. I've been waiting on my car, you know, 20 years. I've been waiting on. Are you sure you're waiting on it? Are you sure? Who are we waiting on? Who are we waiting on? When are we going to believe we got it? When are we going to believe it's ours? We got it. If we believe we got it, we're not waiting on it. Don't get annoyed at it now. Just take everything back to the Scripture. Don't let this get away from you. This is answers. Answers. He said, these many years I serve you, and I never transgress your commandment at any time. Always do what you say. I'm always here on time. Always sow my seed. And yet you never gave me just a little goat. This little goat. So I could have, make merry with my friends. I always wanted a party. No party for me. I've been waiting for years. You'd do something like this for me. I just feel abused. Used. I know it sounds humorous, but what's going on here? The boy believes wrong. He's thinking wrong. He thinks he's waiting on God. Doesn't he? Waiting on the Father. Notice what the Father says. What does the Father say? Oh, come here, boy. I'm sorry. I have taken advantage. I had appreciated you like I should. Come on, I'm going to make you a party. Baby, don't cry. I'm going to give you a big party. I'm going to give you a bigger party than his party. Don't you? No. That's what people want. That's what they expect. But it is not what they should get. Not what they should get. What did the Father say? What did the Father say? He said, son, you are ever with me. Don't you know the Father knows that you're with him? He knows that you're faithful. He knows that you're always there. He knows. And what did he go on to say? And all that I have, I'm going to give to you. No. No, one of these days, it's all going to be yours, but don't worry about it. No. All that I have is yours. He's teaching him, and he's really correcting him too. Isn't he? What is he saying? He's saying, boy, I'm thinking of my daddy right now. If I'd have said something like that. Daddy, I ain't got no car to drive. He said, boy, you know I have told you. Over and over again, you want to drive a car, there's a car. You don't have to come, beg me, ask me. I trust you. Go get in the car and go. Besides that, I don't want to be bothered all the time with every little request. Go. Get you a car and go. Don't you bring that up to me. What's he saying? Son, I know you're with me. I know you're always here. I know you're faithful. Everything I have is yours. What did this say? He divided unto them. When the younger boy got it, it was the older boys too. He just didn't have enough boldness and understanding to go possess it. The boy could have been having parties every week. He could have gone in there and got him a ring every other day. He could have been wearing a new robe every other day. What's the Father saying? Boy, you know where the jewelry box is. Son, you know where the robe closet is. Boy, you know where the calves are. You know, and it's all yours. It has been yours. But don't sit around crying, waiting on me to come hand feed it to you. Get up and go and get your ring. Come on in there and get yourself a robe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go to Deuteronomy. I'm thinking about closing, so just... can you take a little bit more? I know you've been sitting. Stand up again. That won't hurt you. Stand up again. Stand up again. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, Lord. Thank you for making known to us your ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. Let me give you just a little bit more here and wind this up. Go to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. And then we're going to go to 1 Timothy 6. I think I can close. Deuteronomy 1. 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to read some scriptures to you so you don't have to turn to them. I'm talking about practically now how to do this. Number one is you must establish beyond question what the Lord has given to you. I've heard people say, well, you know, just decide what you want and then claim it. No, no. Listen to John 3. You don't have to turn there, but John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You cannot possess what has not been given. Right? And people get in trouble because they just, off the top of their head, they're going to claim this. They're going to take this. No, no. You're skipping a very important step. Number one is what? Establish. Beyond a question. Get it established beyond any question what the Lord has given to you. Thank God for meetings like this. Thank God for all the good tapes and books, CDs, everything on, you know, healing belongs to you. Prosperity belongs to you, right? Do not rush over this. You got to know that you, if you're still asking the question, is it God's will to heal me? You're not ready to possess. If you're still asking the question, does God want me rich? Is it really His will to bless me financially? You're not ready to possess. You got to get this answered first. Right? Till you are settled and you know that you know that you know healing has been bought and paid for and given to me. No question about His will. It is His will. He bought it. He paid for it. He gave it to me. You can only receive. The Amplified says it like this. A man can receive nothing. He can claim nothing. He can take to himself nothing except as it has been granted to him from heaven. I remember James says, don't be double-minded or you won't receive. You can't be wondering and wavering. Is it His will? Is it not His will? You've got to know God has given it to me. But then once He has given it to you and you know that, what comes next? It's what we've been talking about all afternoon. Once you know it's given to you, you don't sit around and wait for something else. At this point, you're not waiting on anything now. It's time to get up. Lay hold. Believe you take it. Believe you receive it. Go to Deuteronomy 1, please. You'll see this. God's always been this way. He never changes. Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 8. He said, Deuteronomy 1, 8, "Behold, I have set the land before you." The margin says, Hebrews, instead of saying set, "I've given." I've set the land before you. I've given. Is that the end of the verse? No. Was it? What come next? Go in and do what?
And possess.
Possess it. Possess it. Skip on down to the 21st verse, same chapter. 21st verse. "Behold, the Lord your God has" what? "He set the land before you." Is that the end?
No.
Now what?
Go up
and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said to you. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Thank you, Lord. Skip on down to verse, let's see. Second chapter. That's what I was off on. 2:24. "Rise up, take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land." Now, when the Lord says he's given it to you, that's where people have gotten off, haven't they? "I have given you this." And they go, "Whoo, glory to God." And they start waiting.
That's excellent.
That's right.
That's excellent.
Start waiting. "Well, Lord, when are we going to see it? When are we going to get it? I know the Lord said he gave it to me. When, Lord? When is the man from the station coming?" And people think they're waiting on him, waiting on the Lord to bring it to pass, waiting on the Lord to do it. No. What did he say? Remember our first, what's the first question you got to get settled? What did he give me? I don't assume that. I don't fill in the blank. I got to hear from him. I got to be sure. I got to get it established beyond question. Well, God has spoken himself. He said, "I have given you this land." That's settled. Now what? That's not the end of the verse. Read the rest of it. "Now I've given it to you. Now begin to possess it." Go do it. Go take it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You remember the first generation of Israelites that were delivered out of Egyptian bondage? He brought them through the Red Sea. He fed them with manna, water out of the rock. He told them about the land full of milk and honey. They sent the spies in. They came out. And what did they say? Now see, God has already told them it's yours. Didn't he? He's already told them it's yours. What'd they say? "Yeah, but cancer is incurable." "Yeah, but it's $100 million.
Come on.
And I've been waiting." And they went and they sat down in their tents and they cried all night. Unbelief. But there was a couple old boys. Had a different attitude, had a different spirit. Anybody remember them? Caleb. Joshua. Oh, Caleb in Numbers 13:30. He stood up and stilled the people. He said, "Shh, hush, shh, hush. Quit that crying. Quit. Shush." He said, "Let us go up right now." Yeah, right now. "At once, let us go up at once and possess it, because we are well able." Well able to take it, to overcome, to get it. Let's go get it right now. Right now. And so they said, no. We came because of the symptoms. We're just going to sit here and cry and wait on the Lord. And in His own good time, and His own, see, and they waited 40 dry, hot years. Was that the will of God?
No.
Were they waiting on God to give them the land? No, Hebrews tells us that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He was always ready for them to go in. But they entered not in, not because it wasn't the timing of God, not because they were waiting on God. They entered not in because of their unbelief. Go to Judges. I think this will be better. Better to end up with. Judges, the 18th chapter. Can anything good come out of Judges? Oh, yeah. It's the Word of God. I want you to get ready to get even more excited right now. I want you to turn your exciter rheostat up a notch and just get ready because things have already been made available. Things have already been provided. And you are going to become a possessor. You're going to become skilled. While other people are waiting around, singing kumbaya, you're going to get up and go ahead and lay hold of it and not be moved by what you see or don't see or feel or don't feel or good report, bad report. Sit there unmoved, unscathed, unfazed and go, I got it, I got it, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it, I have got it now, got it. Not waiting on it. Not trying to get it. The devil comes and say, you ain't going to get it this time. You go, he said, what you laughing at? I already got it. What do you mean I'm not going to get it? I've already got it. Too late. I've already got it. You don't have it yet. Look, Phil. I said I've got it. I don't walk by that. I walk by this. I've got it. Somebody's got it. Yeah. Judges 18. You got Judges? You're doing better than me. I was talking. Judges 18. This generation were little when they saw their mamas and daddies doubting and waiting on God for 40 years, and they saw all that they wanted to see in a lifetime. And when all that generation was gone, Joshua said, now we're going to go get it, boys. We're possessing what God has already given us. And they possessed, and they began to possess. But years into this, notice this, Joshua 18. Thank you. Joshua's in here. What did I say? Both of them's right. Joshua 18 and Judges 18 are correct. Go to Joshua first. I'm sorry. I'll just, you hold that place and we'll look at both of them. Joshua 18. Joshua 18, verse 1, the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. How many tribes were there? 12. How many had not received? Over half of the people of God had not laid hold and possessed what had already been given to them. This is typical. Wonder how much of the body of Christ today has not laid hold of what has already been given. Verse 3, Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go up to possess the land? What are you waiting on? Which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. What did he say to them? What are you waiting on? See, people are saying that, aren't they? How long, God? How long? Well, that's what he said. How long? God, how long before you... Remember the man that had the lunatic son. He said, Lord, if you can do anything, have mercy on him and help him. What did the Lord say? He put it right back in his lap. He said, if you can believe. People want to put it all on God. Well, I'm waiting on you, God. When you going to do it? I'm sorry, but that's not reality. How long before you do it, God? No, he said, how long before you possess it? Amen. How long before you lay hold of it? Amen. How long before you take it? You don't have to turn to Judges, but Judges 18 that we talked about, it says in 18:9, he said, don't lose Joshua. I want you to stay right there. He said, arise and go up against them. The land is very good, and you're still, don't be slothful to go and enter and possess the land. Don't be slothful. Somebody say slothful. What's slothful? Lazy. Sitting around waiting on the Lord is spiritual laziness. Waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on the Lord. He said, no, you're not waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting on to go get your land? What are you waiting on? Seven tribes hadn't got it. He said, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? They thought they're waiting on God. They're waiting on something else. Well, there was one tribe out there that day that this did not fall on deaf ears. We've talked about this before, but it'll bear repetition right here. Can't be this close and pass it by, you know. It was the tribe of Judah. Huh? We talked about this before, but we need to hear it again. He said, the 19th chapter, very next chapter, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was what? Some of you didn't find it. Joshua 19:9. Did I say Judges again? Joshua 19:9. Come on, help me. We're about done, but we're going to end up strong. Come on, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm stirring up. Come on. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. 1 Timothy 6:12. Don't turn there, but it says, fight the good fight of faith. The next part says what? Anybody know? Lay hold on eternal life. People are pressing into the kingdom of God nowadays. Not time to sit around and wait. It's time to press in and take. He said, what are you waiting on? And the tribe of Judah said, we ain't not waiting anymore. Let's go take our land. So they went and they took some land. They took care of business. And they took the land. They took it all on the north. And they sent back word, so we got it all on the north. They said, any land to the west? They said, take it. So they took it. And they took it. Any land to the south? They took it. And they took any land to the east? Take it. Take it. They took all in the north, all the south, all the west, all the east. They took, they took, they took, they took, they took until they had so much that when Simeon said, "We don't have anywhere to live," they said, "Ah, just move over in the south part down there. We won't even know you're there." Because they had taken too much. See, people are afraid. And we're warned, oh, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. You don't want to be, you don't want to get into excess. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, yes. We definitely want to live in excess. Too much. But too much doesn't just fall on you while you're waiting. Passively, you got to rise up. And claim and lay hold and possess and claim and lay hold and possess. Stand up on your feet, please. Oh, singers and players, would y'all come, please? Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to wait another day on my healing. I don't have to wait another day on my money, on my provision. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait. I don't have to try to talk God into doing it or giving it to me. I'm not waiting on Him. Oh, come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.